Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in our last week of our current book on the Cafe Book Club, which is Faith for the Unbelievers by Daniel Chesney Cantor. And go ahead and get our wonderful co-host on here. Miss Amy, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I lost my faith, and then I found it in my book. So, phew!
Oh, I thought it was in the dryer. Okay, never mind.
Well, yeah, no, it was like I was in the book. Faith is in the book, so I'm good. Or
it's
in
amazing
the book,
what you right? can find in the dryer sometimes.
Ooh, yeah, that's true, too.
Miss Elena, how are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, God. You
well,
know what?
You're part
like
of the,
you're
part of
you.
The,
like,
the Transformers, girl.
I know it for sure.
Been here a while.
We're in the last chapter, which at the beginning of the book, when we kind of talked about everything, we always sometimes we have some pre-show meetings for everybody, and I thought it was really interesting that, you know, the last chapter is faith, and I thought, well, gosh, there's this book about, you know, faith for the unbelievers. We talk about faith to start out with, but this last chapter is becoming faithful. And I just thought that was so interesting. How about you guys? Were you kind of surprised that when we kind of started going through the book that that was going to be our last chapter?
For me, it makes total sense because how I look at this is we're talking about the bits and components and the pieces of the puzzle, and now we've mm-hmm. been sorting it out for ourselves, and now it's like, how do you live your faith? So that's what that really means mm-hmm. to me is how do mm-hmm. I live my faith?
Mm-hmm.
Alana, how about you?
Yeah, no, I think, for sure. I thought that we would be – I like that, you know, Daniel put through the four window panes metaphor, you know, and
mm-hmm.
And with whenever he explains it so well, you know, yes, it does make sense, but I do what you see what you're saying as far as like, oh, well, the whole book should be about the faith, you know, but really it gets to – you know, you got to – I love that he sets up the – I love how he sets the foundation to bring it home in the end, and so – I just love this book. I love the heart in this book, and I love the hope that's in this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big
hope. And the faith in each of us, it feels like that he's trusting us, and that we will mm-hmm. unfold our faith for ourselves, not trying to tell us what our faith should look like or how it should be.
That's exactly correct, Amy. The trust that he gives the reader to know their own mind, to know themselves, is fantastic. You know, I highlighted on page 52, each of us can give back to this needy world just by knowing ourselves a little better.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talk about following your heart dream. That's a passion that Alana and I have individually and together, supporting ourselves and other people and stepping into that. And I think that knowing who you are and knowing what you believe and walking in faith is really important in living your heart dream.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So the beginning of this chapter, that's a great segue, the beginning of this chapter is Daniel had gone to Kathmandu and all these places over in Tibet, just really seeking to come from a place of just kind of finding his purpose in life.
Mm.
And, you know, he basically came to a place where they were climbing up the mountain, and he was with a friend of his that was hiking, and his friend got sick. And it was one of those situations of, like, do we continue, you know, knowing that we have these challenges going on. And, you know, when you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you're surrounded by snow,
well,
like, oh,
Alana,
my God, I don't have a
feels,
path anymore.
Right?
Yeah,
yes, I do.
So
Alana
and
Texas.
In snow.
I know
yeah, like Texas.
All about that.
Yeah, exactly.
That was ridiculous.
That, yeah, it was ridiculous.
We were just trying to bring home a point from the book, right?
Yeah.
You guys did
yeah.
a great job of that.
Good
yes,
job.
You're welcome.
Good job. Yeah. He, you know, he woke up that next day and he basically just got real quiet. And he just, you know, kind of went into a meditative place so he could hear what, you know, Spirit wanted him to know. And the Spirit told him, return home and serve your people. And I love how he said that he said, a call to a personal faith, an internal force, asked me to take life seriously, dig into my soul to find what treasures were yet undiscovered there, and know that my life had a purpose. And I think that's something that we, you know, each one of us, you know, you're going to come to that cross in the road that, or come in, I like to call it coming to the end of yourself, that as you grow and change, you're going to have these plateaus that you reach, and you, or sometimes it can feel like a really low valley, you know, it can feel really, really low in a place of like, you know, I just feel like I'm at the end of myself. And where do I go from there? And I thought that was such a great witnessing of this, we talked about this, you know, when Daniel was on the show, about just how transparent and authentic he really seeks to be within these pages, about really sharing his life and his insights on different things.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys get from that story?
Well, it's funny, you say you come to the end of yourself. It's I see it as coming to the beginning of myself, you know, the little self inside the big self, the higher self. And I love the part you read, and right above that, I thought this was important, at least it was important to me. So I realized that I couldn't stay there searching for my personal enlightenment. I had to descend and go back to my life. Faith work requires both a climb up and the descent from the mountain. The journey of our soulful search for meaning must also return us to engagement and action. And I think that's why this chapter, right, is called Becoming Faithful. It's like, okay, it's one thing to know something, but it's another thing to put it into work in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why I highlighted at the very beginning, it says, maybe the end result of reflecting on faith is the ability to live deliberately and allow our values to guide our actions, to live in a way that is coherent with what is calling us within is the goal of life and ultimately an act of faith. And I was like, yes, it's that. That's what I love about the way that he discusses faith is that it is not, you know, he talks about, you know, not being trapped or limited by a dogma, you know, that staying open to your faith, letting it change, letting it grow is really the work that we have to do here.
And he really reinforces that on page 67. He says, just as important as knowing what faith looks like, accepting that this knowledge must lead to action so that our faith continues to grow. And a little bit further, it says, it means we have faith that shines through our life. And that you talked about Henry David Thoreau, who went to the woods to live deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's what I like about this, for sure, is that you're choosing a way to live. You're not just choosing a way to worship, right?
And that's one thing that's interesting about, you know, I say Buddhist practice, because it's Buddhism is not a religion, it's a practice. And the most important thing for me, I've studied it a lot, I've practiced it a lot, is choosing to be kind, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I have to say, no matter what actions I need to take in the world, I always work to how can I do this in as kind a way as possible. And that can be challenging, but it's a choice, right? Like you're saying, it's like, how do I choose to put that into action? How do I choose to be that in the world? And I'd like to talk a little bit about following our heart dream and, you know, living in faith. What are some ways that you guys pay attention to that calling that is aligned with, you know, your belief and your faith and those, you know, those four windows of loyalty? It's another thing we kind of talked about, right? How do you how do you know what your loyalty is as you start understanding your heart dream and then your worldview changing and all those kinds of things. So kind of now bringing this all together, how do we walk in the world with this new knowledge? Hopefully we have a little bit of new knowledge that we learned from walking this path together the last few weeks.
Well, I'm in charge of quotes around here, and so you're right, talking about being kinder. A while back, a friend of mine, I had posted this little quote by J.M. Barrie, and then this friend had painted it for me. She painted it for me and brought it over to me for me to put it on my wall, and it says, "Always be a little kinder than necessary," J.M. Barrie. Mm. And I find that that has been one of the things that I really tried to whenever there's an opportunity that I could be less kind, I really try to be as kind as possible because you don't know what's happening on the other side of that relationship or that, you know, or that you don't know what's happening in that person's world with whenever you're not present, you know, or the situation may require a lot more mercy than you would think. And if you can dig a little deeper in yourself to be kind, as kind as necessary, kinder than necessary, you won't fail. You know, you err on that side of charity.
I love that. Thank
you.
How about you, Robin?
At the top of the page, Daniel says, we are meaning makers. You might even say that making meaning is our job in the universe. And just like you're talking about kindness, when that kind of thing about having meaning makers, you know, coming from your heart and having it be the thing that I put out into the world can be look like kindness, can look like generosity, can look like compassion, can look hopefully in a place of non-judgment. But sometimes it's just a matter and it, you know, can come as grace.
Mm.
So the different ways that meaning get put out into the world in the way that we can embrace something in a certain perspective that's different than everyone else maybe in the room. And as we do that, we can hold that. It's like there's a saying that, you know, when it comes to somebody being able to be authentic, like if you're going into a workshop or something like that, and you can do it right away and be in a place where you're allowing yourself to be very transparent, it gives everybody else in the workshop or whatever permission to do the same. So I think it's something that's really important to have that where you willing to be the voice in the room so everyone can be that much more themselves and not be afraid they can come from a place of just speaking their truth. So that, I think that's something about being a meaning maker, you know, being able to just truly be yourself and be comfortable within that, whatever that is in each circumstance.
I love the line which says, I hope that we are the people the world needs.
And I think we are.
I want to be, for sure. I definitely want to be one of the people that the world needs because I want to do great work here.
And how do you know what's great work for you?
Oh, for me, I think that whenever I find joy in what I'm doing and it brings joy to others, I think that, you know, when I can ease the path of someone else, I can help them on their way, when I can show love, kindness, that's the work that I'm looking for.
I love that.
Meaningful. But make a difference.
Yeah, make a difference.
In someone's life.
I love that. And a lot of what
individually,
you do is
not
other people make difference too, right?
Yes.
You're really good at that. And I love Maya Angelou is coming to my mind. And, you know, she has so many, you know, great quotes of hers and, who she was in the world. And one of her quotes, and I'm not finding it off the top of my head right here, but it's like, it doesn't matter what you say, but it's really about how you make a person feel, something like that. I'll find it. Put that on. But I don't know if I shared this with you guys. Years ago at a conference, I think it was Maria Shriver. The two of them were just sitting, they had little comfy chairs and they were talking to each other, just, you know, girls talking. And she was at a university then. I think she probably was there for her whole life, you know, had an office there. And she said, you know, there's just too many people. There was, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, whatever it was, a lot of people. And she said, you know, if you mail your book to this college, you know, this address, I will write a note and send it back to you. And, well, okay. So I did. And it took a while, and I kind of forgot about it, but the book came back, and she signed with a beautiful, you know, annotation, but she also sent a card and thanked me for the work I was doing in the world. And talk about being your faith, right? Being a mentor of what you believe. It's one thing to write books and have them out there and to be quoted, and, yeah, that's all great, and her work's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But the fact, the impact she had on me was she made sure and took the time to research a little bit about me and not only signed it and wrote something that was pertinent to me, but also made sure got it mailed back to me. That was really significant for me.
Yeah. Cool, that somebody takes that extra time to show interest, to support and to encourage each other.
And mm-hmm. support other people doing good work, right? So it's one thing for you to do good work. It's also important that you support others doing good work, in my opinion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Do that reaching out after you've done the reaching in.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that Daniel said is a faith perspective is one that remains open to change, shuns the fixativity of dogmatic perspectives, and is able to remain vulnerable, trusting that change happens.
Yeah, that's really, and it's so funny, that's exactly what I was looking at, you know, as you just started to say that. And I have to share with you, I can find it here really quick. I'm reading Rethinking, and it's so far a really amazing book, but I posted on Facebook this morning, Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. George Bernard Shaw. And I did that independent of re-looking at the book. And it just seems we'd be, and I think that's part of the guidance that we're getting and having faith that we will get what we need, and that quote came up from a whole other book, something entirely different today as we were going to talk about, you know, this beautiful work.
Good stuff. Good stuff. By being compelled by love and compassion, seeing each other with open eyes and finding that cooperation toward the benefit of everyone is the ultimate goal that tugs at the hearts of us all. What did you not underline here?
Well, that, you know, that makes it tough, right? You know, well, I have to say, when I'm, you know, this was, you know, talk about being kind and how do we be kind. He on 69 here, that last paragraph, which is like half the page, but in the center of it says, the question I'm asking is, what type of faith is possible? And he says, by doing this faith work, we can become less calculating and more wise, less critical and more inviting, less divided and more loving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
This really, this last chapter seems so simple. It's just like it brings all of the, you know, of course, it brings everything that he's been writing about all together. It just seems so like, I just think that this is the one that just kind of like was like, I got it. Everything he said, immediately got it. I didn't have to go back and go like, what? You know, or this one's just so clear to me. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. So I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that, you know, where he talks about the cynic is the one who has never experienced a witness of wit. The richness of the world, and that's from his friend Ed in the New York Catskill Mountains. But you know, I love that when he talks about the richness of our world feeds our inner lives, changes who we are, and opens us up to possibility. And that richness is available to all who seek it. And I was like, yes, that is true. It's like it is a matter of perspective, right? It's a matter of like keeping yourself soft, keeping your heart soft, keeping, you know, keeping the cynic out.
Mm.
Or at least acknowledging the cynic and saying, thank you for showing up, have a seat, you know.
I love that. That's right, girl. That's right. Because, you know, great, when we try to make it go away, it almost like it feeds the monster, you know. And it's like, okay, I see you. I recognize you're here. And that may come in the form of I'm tired or I don't feel well or I'm sleepy, right, or I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm. Or like, okay. What is this all for? It doesn't matter what we do every day. I mean, those things, right? You know, it doesn't matter what we believe in or what we have faith in, as long as it's not bothering anybody else or what, you know what I mean? Like,
you know, and it's so interesting because some of the people, we're really blessed. We have a lot of people that, you know, that are come on the Transformation Cafe that are just really amazing people and doing amazing work on the planet. And so many of them are good friends of ours. And I know we've heard them say, I don't know if what I do matters. I don't think I do enough. Am I living my purpose? And, you know, and you look at them and go, oh, my gosh, if you feel that way, I'm in real trouble, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's it. You know, there's a humbleness when you're really living your purpose, right? That, you know, and I think it's about us supporting each other and going, you know what, whatever you're doing, thank you. And just do the best you can. And let's try to do this with joy and have fun doing it together instead of, you know, working so hard and thinking that we're never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough.
Right. The constant doubt, you know, of yourself is not good, you know. But I do like that he said that he encourages everyone to, this is one of my favorites. This is why I'm asking those who delve into faith work to approach it with a sense of doubt. Understanding that their initial answers will not necessarily be their final ones, and reflecting and answering the urgings of the soul. I'm asking you to see more than one way toward faith, to embrace the complexity that will lead you to a life long deepening. And I think for me, this is like, that was kind of crucial, like doubt things, think about how it can be better, think about how it could be, you know, what different ways it could be, but how, you know, don't get stuck in this one way of thinking and being faithful
and being kind to yourself, right? And yet I'm seeking, you know, and that's what our Transformation Cafe diners are, right? We're seekers. And in seeking, sometimes you go down paths, you're like, oh, is that really it? And what am I to learn? Like with him going on this quest, and he realized, I need to go back home. I need to take it back there. And right after that part, I underlined this one and really been sitting with it. Whether we're deeply religious or not religious affiliated at all, we can all be faithful. The key question to consider is, can we live our lives from a spiritual perspective in a way that does more good than harm in the world?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Alana, you're the deciding vote. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay, there we go. It's unanimous. Phew. There you go. It's unanimous.
There.
Yeah, I know.
I was a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
So the good news is we don't have to go up to the Himalayas, and we don't have to, I mean, you can if you want to. I'm probably not going there. But, you know, it's like the seeking is wherever we are, and it's nice to have playmates, right, that seek with us. And so I want to kind of like slide into the questions and see where we land on that. So those four pains were pains. Right. The pains of the window, not pains in general, but the pains in the window were belief, trust, loyalty, and worldview. And I think that's something that's good to be continue to, you know, to be playing with, and where do I fall in that, and how do I make sense of that? And yes, now that you've read this book and contemplated the questions it asks, what does your faith look like? So it's funny, before we started the show, you know, I had asked everybody, well, before we even started the book, you know, what is, if you had faith as an acronym, what would that be, and what is it now? So I wrote the one for now, and then I kind of got myself in a panic, and it was like I couldn't find the one from before, and then, of course, as soon as I relaxed and had a little bit of faith, I found it. So I'm going to ask you guys for what yours is now. But I want to share mine, the one from that before we started the book and we kind of played, well, what is faith to me? And when I started, it was forever allowing invitation to healing. which, you know, I think there was a lot of healing for me. I know there was a lot of healing for me in really looking at my beliefs and looking at who am I as a, you know, a faithful person, who am I as a spiritual person. And the acronym for me now is Forward Action, Inward from the Heart.
Mm.
So maybe some healing happened, I'm thinking.
It feels like it for sure. I didn't do an acronym, Amy. I didn't. I was not aware of my acronym responsibilities in this show.
Well, then you definitely are getting an A+ then, because you have changed the model. So, for you, Alana, having gone through this book and you've gifted both of us this book, what a great gift! Not only the book, but the conversation about it, and you know, bringing Daniel to the table. For you, is there anything through this, going through it again and going through it with us, that has come up for you about what your faith looks like now?
I think I feel more peace with my faith at this point. Before I was still a little chaotic, and you know, like I knew that I had some faith going on, but I didn't know where it was lying. And then now I'm just like, I don't have to always define it. I can just let it grow. I can sit at peace with it and not worry it.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
See, A+. I knew it. I knew she'd do it.
It's great. There you go.
Robin's going to have a nature moment.
She's an overachiever.
Nature moment
every time.
Tonight.
Well, mine was feeling awesome in the hue.
Hmm. And the hue is H-U-E.
Oh, okay.
So it's about a new color and perspective.
Mm-hmm. Then how about the flower wisdom?
I think it's about the color, you know, the way that the color is such an important aspect of the way that we look at things. When I was writing up the promo for this, I started kind of getting into, because I said, so many intriguing questions and insights have been well worth hiking for with these new trails and going through rivers I once never thought I could cross. And I think it's interesting about, you know, going on these trails of life, and all the nuances of what nature just totally wants to just lean into us and say we're here. And I really was just really kind of sat back a little bit. I said, going through a river I never thought I could cross. And I really loved that I never thought I could go past, you know, go into those waters. And that's something that I think this book's really given me an opportunity to, you know, put my foot into things that I didn't even really think that I needed to, you know, which I think has been very, very awesome with all that. And I think water is just such something that, you know, we take so for granted, but yet it's so essential for everything when it comes to, you know, just, you know, our basic needs of life and how much, you know, we wouldn't have this earth without water. You know, you think about, you know, they're going to Mars looking for water, and if they can, you know, they figure we can colonize. So it's really interesting to see how much. And I've heard that there's a certain amount of water in the air that basically helps us to be that much more sensitive to things. So when somebody's intuitive, they're really sensitive to the way the molecules hold on to sound and move it around the world. Because it's a way that we actually can heighten our intuition through the water, you know, just in the air. It helps us. You know, and like, you know, when you walk into a room and you kind of sense what's going on, it's like, what's the, you know, what's kind of going on a micro level that we, you know, we can sense it, but we can't see it. It's just like faith. I can sense it, but I can't see it. So I think
I definitely
want
to thank
it.
Daniel,
I know that it's there.
Right. I want to thank Daniel for sharing, you know, his work with us and being on with us. That was really, really a great gift.
Yeah. And we're hoping to have him back. So I think it's going to be interesting coming back into this and being able to look at it. You know, we're going on to different topics, but we're definitely, would love to have him come back. And when we do, I know it's going to be something, you know, we'll definitely get his toes wet.
Absolutely, especially after this last year.
If we don't push him in, we might push him in the air. Who knows what's going on with that. Yeah. We had a lot of fun with the conversation with him on our first show with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Indeed.
So do you want to talk at all about the upcoming shows?
Sure. We've really been looking at what's been going on with the pandemic, and there's been a lot of people really dealing with suicide
and we really wanted to embrace
mental,
that.
Mental, you know, stress and, you know, grief and loss.
So depression and just different things. So our next five shows or so are going to be really working from different perspectives with that, looking with ourselves, looking with our family, looking in the workplace, at school, just different perspectives. And Russ Bryant's going to be bringing on a really wonderful – you want to talk about that a little bit, about what Ross is going to bring to the table?
Yeah, well, next week we're going to have Eileen Joyce talk about grief and loss, and I think that'll be really wonderful. And then on the 30th, so we'll end the month with Ross talking about safe talk, which is what you do. You talk to people and make sure, see where they're at, and if they're considering suicide, and what do you do and how do you talk about it. So it's really about how do we, you know, support each other and kind of keep an eye on each other. And he's going to talk about some of the things that he's done in his workplace, working at a large college, working with veterans, working with international students. And I think he's going to bring a really interesting perspective about how do we stay connected, especially in, you know, in times that are very, very stressful.
And I'm really excited about that show as well, because it's like these taboos of things that you don't feel like you can talk about. And it's just having a little bit of, you know, knowledge about what I, you know, what's appropriate, what I can say, what I can't say,
mm-hmm.
things like that, that really can support people, that can be just huge. So I'm really excited that we're going to be bringing that as some information to pass on to our diners. That would be great. So how about you, Elena?
I'm thinking that, you know, this is going to be a really important discussion that we have, and I hope that people get from it is that it's okay to talk about mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
hopefully get some keys and tools on how to help others that in their lives that are struggling with mental health at this time, how to be, you know, maybe, you know, even if people aren't parents yet, how their kids help their children in days to come, how parents now
mm-hmm.
can help their children, how you can get involved in your community to help with things like this. You know, this is near and dear to my heart, so I'm really grateful that we are taking a moment to really focus on it. And I know it's a, I hope that, and I just love that we will be able to approach this topic and still keep our joy inside of this topic, even though it's a very hard topic. I don't
mm-hmm.
think that we'll be getting too heavy, but I think that we will be able to be heavy enough to make a difference.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
take it seriously from, but
mm-hmm.
also with vulnerability and humor appropriately. The people
mm-hmm.
that we're bringing to the table are all that way. They're experts in their areas, and they are very genuine and vulnerable, and they're making a difference in their communities, each of them. So that's exciting. So we did it, girls. Yay.
Woo-hoo!
Yay,
woo-hoo!
Us. Good work. This is a beautiful,
all
beautiful
right.
book
yeah.
and process.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys for joining us, as always.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.